Meet Deb.
Hiya.
Decent job, knows how to save, and doesn't stretch herself too far.
Huh.
A first-rate customer.
Yep.
With a second-rate home loan.
Yeah.
Until she went online and applied to refinance to a Macquarie home loan. They reward good borrowers with great rates and low fees, and their fast turnaround makes applying a breeze. You deserve better than second rate. Search Macquarie Home Loans and apply online so you can say,
I bank with Macquarie.
The home of good borrowers. Macquarie Bank Australian Credit License 237502. Lending criteria, fees and T's and C's apply.
A man who probably isn't doing that is Talking Automotive, though, and that's Jeff Gwillim from the VACC. Hello to you, Jeff.
Andrew, good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I hope you're cool and comfortable.
Well, I'm looking out of the window. There is nothing. I'm at an Elton here. There's nothing moving out there, and I'm really looking forward to a bit of breeze to come through.
Oh, that's good. It's still as anything, is it?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It makes me tired looking at it.
No, well, don't nod off in the next, you know, sort of quarter of an hour, please. So where do we end up with car sales in 2020, Jeff?
Well, we thought it was going to be March last year, Andrew. We thought it was really Carmageddon, to be honest. And but the things picked up towards the end of the year. Overall, for the year, and these are the FCAI figures I'm quoting from here. Overall, Andrew, we're about 13.7% down on vehicle sales nationally, which, you know, it looked worse than that mid-year last year. It was a terrible sight, not so much on the West Coast, but certainly up the East Coast of Australia. And Tasmania didn't do too bad, but wherever COVID was worse, of course, and the restrictions were in place, but sales figures just dried up. Victoria, though, Andrew, still bore the brunt of the whole exercise. We still dropped 25% over the year in the sales of figures in Victoria. That's nearly 100,000 vehicles less sold in Victoria than the year before. And that has ramifications for the government around stamp duty and a whole range of things. So December, November and December, of course, things started to pick up. And December, of course, you know, when the restrictions came off completely, we had a rebound, a very strong rebound in Victoria. But we really need that to continue this year. Things aren't looking bad. I was talking to some dealers last week and things are looking quite good. My people are still on holiday looking at vehicles. But we certainly don't want another year like that. The dealers, you know, a lot of views about car dealers. People seem to think they're all driving around in Rolls Royces, but they're not. And a lot of them couldn't access a lot of the government programs, Andrew. So it was a tough old year, and you know, we had some challenges with Honda and Holden in the market as well. So we don't want to relive it.
So let's get to electric vehicle sales. Are they rising and rising in Australia, or are they just plateaued?
Yeah, they didn't do as well last year as they had done the year before. But I'd expect them to continue to rise over the next couple of years. The prices of electric vehicles will continue to come down. Elon Musk, of course, is going to be mass producing the Tesla 3 in China. So we will expect those vehicles. You know, as you look across the electric vehicle market now, the prices are dropping. And hybrids, you know, plug-in hybrids and other types of hybrids, the numbers are picking up in those vehicles. Even last year, I'm just looking here now, there were 60,000 hybrids sold, which is a long way up on the year before. Electric's still sluggish, but, you know, people are moving towards the electric vehicle market largely through hybrids, which is vehicles that may or may not have a petrol engine or a diesel engine in them that charge a battery, or they might be plug-in hybrids. And then, of course, you go across to pure electric, which don't have a petrol or diesel engine at all. It's just a battery in there. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion on that. But the old internal combustion engine, Andrew, I've said it before, it's about 120 years since its early development. And we still get good savings out of that in terms of fuel emissions and other emissions every year. So they're cleaner than they ever were.
Yes, they have evolved, haven't they?
Yeah, they have evolved, and they continue to evolve. Engineers work on these things around the globe, and, you know, they find new ways to use leaner fuels and to get more output with less fuel. But, you know, there is a report that was released. It was only released to a part of the media last year. I haven't seen it yet, which is the vehicle fleet. Well, it's called the Electric Vehicle Fleet of the Future in Australia, but I don't think it has any set dates around when we might start to move in that direction. And my gut feeling is we'll run at least 5 years behind Europe, which is 2035, 2040, depending on what country you're in. Some of them are actually back to 2025, but to start that process. But I think we will, my personal view is it'll be 2035 and probably 2040 before we start to transition.
Yes, I just getting a bit on. It's a little bit of a rocket ship into the future for old Andy Pandy there. But anyway, for others, of course, it will be a very much a part of their lives. 96900, 693 or 131332 if you live outside of the metro area. Give us a call if you've got a question for Jeff about anything automotive. Maybe you drive an electric car, a hybrid car. How have you found it? What sort of electric car perhaps should you buy? What do you think of the prices? Anything like that, you're welcome to call. And Jeff, am I right in saying, because I was looking, November, a couple of months ago, really, that's all, buying a second-hand car, about a 2014, 15, 16-year model car, and they don't seem that cheap. Have second-hand prices gone up? Because I'm kind of shocked at how high they were.
Well, they're more expensive than they were a year ago, and so a couple of things have happened. As COVID moved its way through North America and through Asia, a lot of those car plants shut down, and we are suffering with some brands with a slowdown of stock. That stock will come through, but it'll come through slower than normal. What that's done, it's superpowered the used car market, and we've got a whole lot of people, Andrew, that are concerned about getting on public transport, and that's their prerogative. And of course, what they've done, they've all decided to rush out. Well, they decided to A, hang on to the car they've got, and B, if they need another car and they don't want to buy a new car right now, they're buying these second-hand cars. Well, that has pumped that market up significantly. And you know, I'm not kidding. You could have probably bought the same car cheaper the year before with more kilometres on it, because that stock. Well, I've got used car dealers that are struggling to find enough stock to sell.
Isn't that amazing? That's and there was a glut. They're sort of not giving them away, obviously, but there was kind of an oversupply. I thought about 7 or 8 years ago of used cars on the market, and you can do pretty good deals in certain models.
Yeah, there was, Andrew. It's when we sort of, the vehicle fleet in Australia runs around 9.7, 10 years in terms of the average age of the whole fleet of cars. And I think we sort of all got used to that, and we got into the swing of, well, you know, the car's 6 or 7 or 8 years old, I'll go and get a new car. And that slowed a bit. As we went into COVID, things tightened up terribly because people started to get concerned. Well, we had JobKeeper, we had JobSeeker, we had all sorts of things that kept money in the market. And people did. They went and bought new cars early, then they stopped, that slowed down, but they continued with used cars. And, you know, it's going to be a tight market. That will continue, by the way, because if people can't buy new cars and that stock's slow to come through, of course, they'll hang on to the cars they've got, which means that they're not in the market. My prediction, even though we're about 13% down on total vehicle sales this year, which is under a million at 980,000, I think we'll get back well over a million cars this year. I think it'll be about 1.1, because I think there is a buoyancy. As soon as that vaccine hits the streets, Andrew,
yes,
I think the positivity that will go through Victoria will be immense, and people will get out there. And they will want us to have holidays in Australia. Nothing wrong with that. Get out and enjoy it. And they will buy cars to have those holidays locally.
Oh, I think you well could be right. Talking with VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim about things automotive on 3AW. And we're back with your calls after these. Talking automotive with Jeff Gwillim from the VACC, talking to Bronny. Hello, Bronny.
Hi, boys. Listen, great call and great knowledge that you're putting out there.
Thank you.
Jeff, just a quick question. There's so much technical and everything in, equipment in all these cars now, and they're also extremely quiet. I would suggest most people would only use 15% of what's in it. Air conditioning, you know what I mean, just the basic things. They never really go into all the other stuff that's in these cars. So when are they going to stop putting too much in them?
Interesting call. Bronny, thank you very much. I sort of, kind of, go along with some of that, Jeff.
Yeah. Look, this is a really great question. If you go into a car manufacturing plant, when they build even a base model car now, it does have a lot of widgets and switches on. And to not put them in is sometimes just as expensive as to put them in. So consequently, a lot of cars get stuff that people may or may not want to use, but to not put it in is problematic.
Yes.
The other thing is that it's really, the reason it's a really interesting question is there's two chains of thought here. There's studies being written around the world about distraction inside vehicles. And there is a contentious argument at the moment that says the more you put in a vehicle, the more switches and gadgets and bits and pieces, the more drivers are distracted. So, I wouldn't be surprised if over time a lot of that technology gets streamlined, more voice command. But I certainly agree with the sentiment that, I've got stuff in my car. I've hardly turned any of it on.
Same. I've got a 13-year-old car and it's got stuff in it I've really just never used. Thank you very much, Ronnie, for raising an interesting point. Ido's on the line. We'll just move along a bit quickly because we've got the news coming up, Ido.
Sure. Yeah, not to worry. Look, I was wondering about motorcycle and scooter figures for sales, new and used, and for that matter, the electric push bikes you see around these days, they seem to be coming out a bit more and more.
Yeah, well, I know, Evo, during the lockdown, many, many cycle shops ran out of cycles completely. They also ran out of electric cycles, but that little electric scooter, that's selling like hotcakes as well at the moment. But you're right, Evo, all of those other lighter forms of transport really had trouble, but those numbers have picked up tremendously since the stock's come back on hand.
I'm going to say something to finish off this segment that's going to shock, probably horrify many listeners. I don't need electric windows in a car. I've got them, but I'm quite happy with a winder. But as you say, it may be just the fact of why would they bother running a whole separate line of cars just with winders for a few old fossils like me, I guess. But it's just one of those things that why if we have to have electric windows? Like, wow, this has, made my life, changed my world of motoring. No, it hasn't. Anyway, I've said it. I won't take it back, Jeff, unless you make me, okay?
No, it's great stuff. I mean, we have them in because we can.
Yeah, it's about it, isn't it? Jeff Gwilym, lovely to talk to you. You're back with Dennis next week. Have yourself a good week and a cool week, okay?
Thank you, Andrew.
Jeff Gwilym from the VACC.